Deuteronomy 31:6 says this: Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh, the world says that the strength is found in what we have. But God's Word says that real strength is who you have in Jesus. The world says that strength is found in promoting self. But God's Word says that real strength is found in denying self. The world says that strength is found in gaining wealth. God's Word says that real strength is found in sacrifice as we place everything on the altar as an offering to Him. See, we are strong because the Word, that Logos, it resides in us. We are strong because it abides in us. It's holding fast. We are strong because our sins have been forgiven as far as the east is to the west.
And I want to welcome you to another broadcast of This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. We're so humbled and grateful that you've taken time to tune into this broadcast. Please don't forget, though, that all these broadcasts are archived at thisdayministries.org. They're free to download, and so please take advantage of these resources. You know, we have a great task to take the gospel to the masses who need to hear. And so we ask that you would pray and that you consider supporting us in this endeavor. We have an insurmountable task, to be honest with you, but we know that we serve the God and there is no other, and so we rest in Him. And so we pray that you're encouraged today by this broadcast. And so without further ado, let's go to God's Word and let's see what He has to say.
All right, take your Bible and turn to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, looking at three verses this morning, 12, 13, and 14. And as you're turning there in your Bible, I wanted to ask a question out loud, and I don't want you to answer out loud, but I want you to really think through this question. And it's a deep question, it's a penetrating question, but I pray today that you and I will answer it honestly to ourselves. And the question is this: what is it that you and I are doing right now, this day? What is it we're doing right now that is requiring great faith in God? What is it we're doing right now? Where is God wanting us to go? What is He wanting us to do? What's going on in our lives right now that is requiring incredible faith in God? I'm not talking about faith in God for the decision on where we're going to go to lunch today. I'm not referring to, oh God, we want to get our way and we want to do this. And so where are you leading so that we can faith you so that we can get what we want? No, I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the question, God, what is it you want me to do so that you will get all the glory? And regardless how it impacts me and what I want, that your name would be praised. That's a tough question, isn't it? That's a question that really gets to the heart and to the nub of our soul. C.S. Lewis says it like this: relying on God has to begin all over again every day, as if nothing had been done. We're not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. Isn't that good? Oh, we're not wondering that God's not going to do the best for us. We're really wondering and nervous and tentative about how His best will really be for us. You know, it's so easy in this safe environment to say how great is our God. To praise His name, to be excited, and those are good things. But the reality is, the battle's going to go on tomorrow, Monday morning, when you go to work. The battle's going to go on for some of us when we leave this building, and we're going to go back home to a family that thinks you're crazy because you love Jesus. The reality is the battle's going to take place as you go and visit that family member that's in the hospital, that's dying of some disease like cancer, leukemia, whatever it may be. That's when the battle takes place. That's when we get stretched and pruned and grown in Christ, because that's where we really lay everything on the altar. And that's where it really comes to fruition, that we say, not what I will, but what you will. So what is it today? What is it today in my life, in your life, that we can truly, honestly say, oh, God's stretching me. He's tested me in such an intense way that it's requiring unwavering faith in Him. Unwavering faith that if I do not trust Him, if I do not rely on Him, if I do not put all of my eggs in His basket, then I cannot take one more step. Maybe you're here today, and as you analyze that question in your mind's eye, maybe the reality is that there's nothing going on in your life that's requiring great faith in God. Maybe you're one of those today, if you're honest, and I pray that we're all honest today, but maybe we're living a very lukewarm, complacent, apathetic, indifferent, profess-believing life, and the reality is there's nothing going on. We're not trusting God because we're not willing to do the will that He wants us to do that's going to require trust in Him. And so I pray today that as we go through God's Word, that you're going to see, that you're going to see we have every reason to trust Him. We have every reason to rely on Him. We have every reason to give Him glory and to give Him praise. And the only way that we can really glorify and magnify His name is when we crawl up on that altar and we say, not unto us, not unto us, but to your name give glory. And so here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, John writes this: I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Make sure you underline that. Verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Underline that as well. I write to you, little children, because you have known to the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Underline that again. Boy, John here is writing some powerful words, some powerful text. He's writing again and calling them little children. This is not a derogatory term. He's not being condescending. He's not being mean. It's literally an affectionate term. Oh, my little children. As He is their mentor in the faith, He has a great affection for them. He writes to them as little children. He writes here in the text to the young men. And He writes to the fathers. But we can all glean something from all three persons that He's writing to. And so we can take something from all of this. And here's the first point that He makes. And He says this: I write to you, little children, in verse 12, because your sins are forgiven. What are sins? Do we remember what that means? Sin in the Greek is the word harmateia, and it literally means this: to error or to miss God's mark. You see, God has a mark. God has a standard. God has a benchmark. He has a requirement that must be met. And because you and I could not and cannot daily, 100% of the time, meet His requirement of holiness, that's why He had to send His Son, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb, to take the sin for us, to bear our penalty, my penalty and your penalty, that would rescue us from death and that would securely set us on the pathway to eternal life with Him in heaven. Sin's a serious issue, isn't it? But what does it mean to have forgiveness of sins? We talked about sin as missing the mark, not just any mark, but God's mark. So what does it mean to have forgiveness of sins? See, this is a very critical point. point for the believer, for the true Christian, not just the person who makes the profession, because we know from Scripture there's many that make professions, but they walk with Him no more. John 6:66 says that specifically. From this time on, many of His disciples, they walked with Him no more. Oh, they believed at one point, but the cost got too high. The price got too high. They turned the price tag over, if you will, on the item they wanted so dearly. And they saw the sticker shock. And they saw the sticker shock which said, oh, if you want to be born of mine, you got to deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. And the sticker shock was too great. And so they said, oh no, we don't want to walk with you anymore. The reality, though, is this, that when we endure, when we press on, when we do not lose heart as a professed believer in Jesus Christ, and we cling to Him and we cling to Him only, oh, I got great news that when we're a genuine believer, we surely have forgiveness of sins. You know, in our culture today, forgiveness, I don't think, gives the proper definition to what it really means here in the Greek language. So much in our culture today has been watered down, but we want to make sure that we understand what this really means. And here it is in the Greek, the word forgiveness. It means this: to let go, to disregard, to yield up, or to give up a debt. Think through that for a minute. If someone forgives you, if they forgive me, they are releasing. They are forgetting. They are letting go. They are giving up a debt. See, that's what that term means. And that's why John is driving this point home. Oh, be of good courage, my brothers and sisters, today. Take heart. Do not lose heart. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, I got the greatest news you could ever hear. And that's, if you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been wiped away as far as the east is to the west. Oh, we don't have to carry around the baggage any longer. No, we fast forward into today, press into tomorrow. Oh, that's good news. I mean, there is nothing greater. You may say, well, I'm going to go out and finally get my dream house and I'm going to buy it this week. I found the one I wanted. Trust me, your dream house compared to the forgiveness of sins, you can't even put the two in the same equation, because the forgiveness of sins is infinitely greater. Oh, you go, I've been looking at this vehicle for so long. I've been studying it. I've been on the internet. I finally got the price I wanted. I'm going to go get it this afternoon. And I got to tell you today that the forgiveness of sins is ultimately greater. You say, wait a minute, I'm going to finally marry the person of my dreams. And they're going to bring me all that I ever wanted. They're going to complete me. They're going to satisfy me. And I'm going to tell you right now today, number one, that will never happen, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy any of us. But number two, compare that to the forgiveness of sins, and the forgiveness of sins is infinitely greater. Colossians 2:13 says it like this: and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Oh, and what it says there is He has, yes, given up that debt. He has let it go. But He didn't let it go or just give up the debt just because He felt like it. No, He gave it up due to the imputation and the propitiation of His only Son, Jesus the Christ. And because He went to the cross, and because He conquered the grave, oh, we reign victoriously with Him right here on this earth as the Holy Spirit indwells us. And oh, one day, that glorious day when we stand face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what a day that will be.
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Here at This Day Ministries, we believe in the power of prayer. If If you have a prayer request, would you send that request to prayer@thisdayministries.org? That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. Let's now go back to the second part of this message, and let's see what God's Word has to say.
But we also got to remember this. Because Christ died on that cross, because God did forgive us when we confess our sins through His Son Jesus Christ, we actually now have liberty and freedom to forgive ourselves. You may be listening right now, and the reality is what's holding you back is simply you can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive yourself for what you've done. And here's the beauty of it. I can't satisfy the forgiveness I need for my life, and neither can you. But here's the good news. When we're a believer in Jesus Christ, part of the equation is that as we are forgiven, God the Father forgives you and me, we now have freedom and liberty to forgive ourselves. We no longer have to live in the past. We no longer have to live with the shame that went on with whatever we did prior. Oh no, we come boldly before the throne of grace. We confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Romans 8:1 says this, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I got great news. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can forgive yourselves because God has forgiven you and there's no condemnation. Oh, the world may say there's condemnation. Your family may say there's condemnation. Everywhere you look, they say, oh, you're being condemned, you're condemned. But when you're blood bought by Jesus Christ, the King of glory, oh, there is therefore no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who have placed their faith in Him, there's no condemnation. I like how Paul says it in Philippians 3:13 through 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What he's saying there literally in 2012 terms is he's saying, look, take the rear view mirror that's on the right side of your car and rip it off. Take the one that's on the left side and rip it off. Take the one that's on that windshield inside your car and rip it off. Don't look behind any longer to the sin that's behind you in your car. But oh, press forward. Just look straight ahead. Look through the windshield. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't look behind. But press forward. How can we press forward? We can press forward as God leads and we follow. Because we got to remember Satan's power. His power is not in today because we're blood bought. His power is not in the future because we're blood bought. But He does want to remind us of the past. And so if He has any chink in our armor, He wants to get in the past. But even that, we can surely say, oh, it's been redeemed. My past has been redeemed. So He really has no power in the past, does He? He doesn't have any power in the past. He may think He has power in the past. Satan thinks he has power in the past. So our sins are forgiven. But what does the text go on and say? It says this. Because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. That word strong means this in the Greek. It means mighty, of one who has strength of soul to sustain the attacks of Satan. Isn't that awesome? See, because we're forgiven, we're strong. Because we're forgiven, we're strong. I'm not strong in my flesh. I'm not strong on my own. You're not strong in the flesh. You're not strong on your own. We are strong as believers in Jesus Christ because He's the one that gives us strength. You are strong, the Word says here. And the Word of God abides. That Word of God is logos in the Greek. And so we're strong when the Word of God is in us. When we get into the Word and we bind it on our hearts, we write it on the tablet of our hearts. Oh, the Word of God gives us strength. And it says here that abides in us. We've studied that word because John uses that word over and over in the Gospel of John, in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And that word abide simply means to remain in or to hold fast. Oh, be encouraged, dear friend, today. You may be down. You may be out. You may not understand what's going on. You're facing this trial and that trial. Oh, if your sins have truly been forgiven, if you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, be strong. Be mighty. Oh, understand that you can withstand the attacks of Satan as Christ leads you, as He goes to battle for you, because we know that the battle truly belongs to the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Oh, the world says that the strength is found in what we have. But God's word says that real strength is who you have in Jesus. The world says that strength is found in promoting self. But God's word says that real strength is found in denying self. The world says that strength is found in gaining wealth. God's word says that real strength is found in sacrifice as we place everything on the altar as an offering to Him. See, we are strong because the word, that Logos, it resides in us. We are strong because it abides in us. It's holding fast. We are strong because our sins have been forgiven as far as the east is to the west. And so that leads in then to the last point in verse 14, which simply says this, "And you have overcome the wicked one." I love that in the Greek. To overcome means this, to conquer, to be victorious. To conquer, to be victorious. So what does that mean? What are we conquering? What are we being victorious over? It says right here, "And you have overcome the wicked one." In other words, what this means here in the Greek is that, and you have conquered, you have been victorious, not just over hardships or disasters or trials, but you have conquered and been victorious over Satan himself, because Jesus has been the greatest trial attorney that you'll ever have. Revelation 12:11 says this, "And they overcame," they conquered, they were victorious "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." So you've got to understand this. If you want to be an overcomer today, if you are a child of the King today, you no longer have to wish to be an overcomer. You are an overcomer. See, we can live victoriously in Christ, and we can know that because He lives, we can actually face today, tomorrow, and anything this world throws at us, because greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Since God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:38-39 says it this way, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, if you're a believer today, if you're listening today, and no matter how down you feel, no however tired or tired you are, some of us today are so tired of just being tired. And we all get to that point in somewhere in our lives. But oh, if you are a child of the King, the great news is that we are victorious. If we're a child of the King, we are overcomers. Oh, I've read the end of the book, and we win. We must understand this, that you have overcome the wicked one. That's past tense. We have overcome. Oh, the overcoming's been done. How? Because Jesus went to the cross. He endured the beatings and the shame. He conquered death. And the tomb in 2012 is empty. And He arose on that third day. Amen? That brings us good news. Oh, that should give us a skip in our step. As we go to work tomorrow, go to school, the retirement community, the neighborhood, wherever we go, oh, we should be the most joyful people as a professed believer because our sins have been forgiven. We are strong. We don't have to fear. We can be of good courage. Oh, God is our 5-star general as we go into battle. Oh, we have the greatest on our side, the mightiest. He is the God, and there is no other. We have no reason to fear. We are not wanting to be overcomers. We are overcomers. As I close today, years ago, there was a group of Christians. And this group of Christians were in Scotland. And there they were being persecuted for their faith in God. And so they would have to meet secretly. They would have to meet covertly for fear of being imprisoned. And so one night they decided to go out to worship God. And so they gathered together, this group. And they went down to a mountainside, down into a valley. And as they gathered there, they were worshiping and praising God. The soldiers heard that they were worshiping God somewhere out in the vicinity. And so they went after them. As the people there gathering, as the Christians gathered, they could hear the soldiers approaching. And so they just stood their ground. They stood still. They stood fast. And they cried out. They prayed to God. Oh God, do a work. Protect us. They prayed fervently. They prayed with their hearts. They asked God to do a work that only He can do. As the soldiers were approaching, out of nowhere came a fog and a mist of clouds. And as they were down into the valley there, they continued to pray. And before they knew it, this fog, this mist of clouds descended right into the valley. Right into the valley where they were was the fog and the mist of the clouds. And what happened next was truly an act of God, because as the soldiers marched around the valley looking for these Christians to persecute and imprison, God put His protective shield over the valley. He allowed His name to be exalted. He allowed His name to be exalted in the midst and in the presence of the enemies. See, that's what God does. He prepares a way as we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, you may be going through the valley today. Just stay there. Just stay in the valley. Don't leave the valley. The best place to be is in the valley, because we just look up and we give glory to Him and we praise Him and we say, oh Lord, thank You for the difficulty. Thank You for the trial. May Your name be glorified and may Your name be praised. And God sends the mist of clouds to protect those that trust Him and that put faith in Him.
You have been listening to This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of these messages are recorded at Manhattan Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. In addition, these messages are also archived at thisdayministries.org. You know, we have a great task ahead of us in 2012, and that is to take the truth of God's Word to the masses who need to hear. If you feel led to partner with us in this endeavor, feel free to go to thisdayministries.org to find out more information about this exciting opportunity. Our prayer today is that you've been challenged, encouraged, and motivated to live for Christ. And so let's all go out intentionally and urgently this day, and let's go make that difference for Jesus Christ.